Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Welcome to What the Fuck is Happening Podcast.
Oh, we just got straight into it. Okay. Hello. Hi, welcome.
The Way That You're a Fool. I'm Nicholas.
Well, I just assumed we'd start again.
I'm Nicholas.
I'm Maddie.
And for those who were not in the room with us, which is literally no one else was in the room with us, Maddie was just singing Let's Get Loud by J-Lo.
Yeah.
Do you remember at Biden's inauguration when she sung like an acoustic version of Let's Get Loud?
No.
And like it like transitioned in between the national anthem?
Or, like,
do you not remember that? Oh, no. So iconic.
I don't feel like I knew that at all.
So misguided and so iconic.
That is...
And it's the, like, Biden's inauguration, between that...
Bro, that was a
between
dream.
Bernie Sanders with his little gloves, his mitts,
I remember
sitting
that.
There. and between Gaga performing there too.
Did she?
And then afterwards getting a photo with all of the, like, Capitol Hill staff. Security guards, sorry. And then she had a quote, like, a week later where she was like, yeah, well, I was at Biden's inauguration. I was, like, trying to investigate January 6th. I was, like, looking for evidence.
That's so funny.
I'm like, this is why Gaga's my number one.
I was going to say, she is the icon of our generation.
She's so ridiculous. yeah, welcome to this podcast.
Yes.
I had another question because you were saying tester.
Was I?
Yeah. When we were testing, obviously, when we were testing the microphones. Did you call... Texters?
Yes.
As a kid?
Yeah.
Interesting. Because I feel...
What else would they be called?
Like markers?
Oh, no. Oh, no!
Sorry, was that sacrilegious?
Yeah. I feel like markers are different.
Markers, like, up, like, permanent or whiteboard?
Yeah, exactly.
Exclusively.
Pretty much.
The gender binary is permanent or whiteboard. Personally, exactly. I'm whiteboard because I'm terrible at making decisions.
Easy to be rubbed off.
Easy to be...
Crazy.
Not no. Let's get loud. Speaking of getting rubbed off and getting loud.
Yeah.
Should we do our What the Fuck of the Weeks?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
You got yours?
Yeah, I do.
I'll let you go first.
Okay. Well, I don't know.
Unless it's depressing.
No, it's not depressing, but I'm not going to lie. I think it's a little judgmental, but I'm doing it anyway.
This is my shocked face that we would be judgmental.
Been able to stop thinking about it all week. And you've probably heard about it.
Okay.
And it is that this week...
I can't stop thinking about you rubbing me off. Continue.
That's hot.
That's hot.
This week, Robert De Niro announced that he has had a seventh child.
Oh, and he's like 80.
For context, he's 79. Yeah.
I'm not quite 80. That's okay then.
Almost. Now... My issue is not the fact that this is seventh child. The issue is that he's 79. Don't you feel like that's just a little bit irresponsible?
I fully don't think that that's judgmental. I think that's judge reasonable.
Well, I don't know. Like, the only thing I can think of, the only thing I think about whenever I think of it is it's like, okay, maybe this dude, Robert De Niro, just
legend icon.
Yeah. Just that little guy. Maybe he lives maximum for another 25 years.
Ooh.
Maybe, right?
That, so like,
104, 105.
That's bold.
Like, that is bold. That's like maximum. That child is going to get maximum to 25 years of age before his dad.
I would argue less even if he lives to 105 because...
Well, yeah.
How mentally capable is he going to be?
Physically capable? Mentally capable?
Is that mean to say? That's judgmental. But
no, I don't think that's just the reality of getting
old. I think it's fucked up.
It is fucked up.
Do you know how old the woman is?
No, I don't. But they've not been particularly open about their relationship. But, I mean, that he's had... I was just reading about this. He has had another child. His one before this one was born via surrogate. So, potentially, I mean, this one could also have been born via surrogacy.
So, the two options are there's a woman who's at least 30 years younger than him.
Well, probably 40 years younger.
Impregnated with... I assume they had to buy out a chemist's worth of Viagra to get a baby out of it.
Either that or he's got, like, super sperm.
Or they're two 80-year-olds and
yes.
got a surrogate.
Yes.
Which would be irresponsible.
Yes. Yeah. Those are the only two options.
Okay. And those are the only two options. Yeah. Interesting. Do you think there's any misogyny built into this?
On whose behalf?
All of everyone.
Like me being misogynistic?
No. I'm talking about the fact that if a woman had a baby via surrogate or whatever, or adopted a child at 80, they would be getting fucking decimated by the media.
Oh, absolutely. I totally agree with that. Whereas, I mean, there's not... I haven't seen a lot of, like...
Sorry, I'm going to interrupt because I'm going to say...
Be free.
I think that the only reason this isn't a major media item... Because, like, maybe it popped up on your little weird-ass Instagram newsfeed fucking thing that you've got. But, like, there's no outrage about it, really.
No.
It's more jokes about... It's jokes. It's lighthearted.
I haven't even seen that. I've just seen, oh, this is a thing that happened. He randomly announced that he's just had a seventh child in April, and that's it. And it's like, maybe we should be talking about this a little bit more.
The seventh son.
Yeah, literally.
The...
That movie was terrible.
That movie was terrible. But, the... idea I'm kind of feeling out is that, do you think that the reason that people aren't outraged
is because he's old? I'm sorry, he's a man.
Yes, but specifically because in the eyes of general society, like socially and culturally, fathers aren't expected to be super hands-on or like super involved in their child's lives, or specifically raising them?
I mean, maybe. I mean, I honestly probably think it's more to do with the fact that he's a man and men be doing wild things.
But, like, genuinely, though, if you think about it, and everything I've seen online, no one's said anything about it being irresponsible to have a child at 80.
Yeah.
I've seen jokes about it and, like, lighthearted criticism.
Yeah, yeah.
But if that was a woman who adopted a child or had a surrogate, whatever.
No, for sure. It would be talked about way more.
They'd be like, you're already a terrible mum.
Yeah, no, that's true. I mean, you're probably right. Like, it probably is, like, base layer is that it's just a man versus woman thing. But, like, the deeper issue is that, yes, a woman would be more expected to be taking an active role, whereas a dad is kind of a bit like,
All I'm saying is I think there's some interesting dynamics in this news item as a whole.
Yeah, yeah.
And I feel like you could write an entire thesis about it.
So fair. Because there's, multiple layers to this, right? Which is that his oldest child is 51.
That's what I was about to ask, is he... technically could have a child that was, like, close to 60. So is 51 his oldest child?
Yes. Yeah.
There's a 50-year age gap.
Yeah.
Imagine
your brother
being 50 years older than you.
That person already has children as well, by the way. So...
imagine your nieces and nephews being 30 years younger. Older than you.
Literally. Literally. It's absolutely unhinged.
I'm assuming this is Robert De Niro's, like, fifth wife.
Oh, my God. What did I just read? This is the third
woman
baby mama, but he's only been married twice. They don't know because his relationship with this person, this woman, has been very
private.
Yeah, so they don't know.
Is she like 25?
Probably, but I'm not sure. All I just read was that I think she's a martial arts instructor, but that's all it kind of said about her.
Out of all of the occupations you could have said that Robert De Niro's young wife does.
I don't think they're married, but, well, they might be, but they might not be.
Robert De Niro.
Yeah.
Wife or partner. Is, drum roll please, 2008 Tiffany Chen.
26.
De Niro and his partner, Tiffany Chen, welcomed their daughter.
Gia or something, right?
Yeah, yeah, on 6th of April.
Yeah. There's literally no information about her, right?
Literally.
They've, like, been spotted out once together or something. Which is why everyone just assumes that they're...
I'm so confused.
I know. Same, right? This is why I gave so little information.
But, like, how is that possible that she's completely... Do you think it could be the film producer?
I doubt it.
Because she's 64. And also married to a different man. Sorry, you guys have to, like... The Tai Chi star.
Oh, maybe, maybe.
I'm sorry, you guys have to listen to us investigate this in real time.
But it does need to be investigated.
It literally... Oh, okay, she's believed to be 45.
That's so funny, Polly. We're not sure.
Yeah, they're literally...
How old she is. She may be an immortal goddess.
According to multiple unidentified sources, she's 45. So what's that? That's like a 35-year age difference.
Yeah.
That's wild. I'm sorry.
It's
to have a
35-year
age difference with someone who's 45.
Yeah. It's pretty wild. And, I mean, at 45, she theoretically could have been carrying the child herself.
Yeah. I mean, I have to imagine that...
It wasn't a purposeful decision?
I have to imagine that it... Ugh, I don't know. Is it rude to talk about Robert De Niro's sperm? Without his permission?
I don't know. I honestly can't tell.
Okay, maybe I was just going to say, surely it was purposeful.
Yeah.
Because I can't imagine his swim as being...
I don't know. I don't know if they actually...
Swimming.
I don't know if men's actually... I feel like men can still, obviously... impregnate women basically up until they die.
Yeah. Well,
whereas it's the opposite. It's not like that.
Yes and no. Like, as you get older, it does, you get like,
lose efficiency.
Your swimmers age as well, I guess. They don't you know, they go from freestyle to like breaststroke.
Right. Right.
What a casual conversation.
Well, it was important to get to the bottom of what is going on in the House of Commons.
Literally. Men have such audacity.
Yes.
I'm like processing in real time and it's like, it's just like a lot to process. I don't
know. No,
like,
it's wild.
It's these people who I'm never going to ever meet or anything, but like, imagine having a brother who's 50 years older than you.
Literally, it's like the whole thing. And this is why I said at the beginning that I was like, I feel like it's maybe a little bit judgmental to talk about. Because at the end of the day, is it harming anybody? Maybe the child, but literally no one else in the whole wide world. So should we be able to have a say on it? No. On the other hand, it is genuinely just the most unhinged situation.
It's like, really wild. But then you remember, like, Elon Musk has, like, 18 children. And it's like...
See, this is why I felt like it was important to qualify that it's not the amount of children that he has. He can have as many fucking children as he wants. I just feel like that should have been 50 years ago.
I thought you were about to say it's quantity over quality.
No.
Or the other way around. And I'm like, that's an interesting way to look at humans. My what the fuck of the week this week is that last night I tried to be, like, spontaneous.
Right.
That's it. That's the whole... No.
Is this when you wanted to go to the movies?
Yeah. I mean, so yesterday I was trying to be spontaneous. And I was like, I'll go to the movies by myself. I just need Maddie to tell me that it's not horrible because she goes all the time by herself because she's like a lonely loser. So I'll text her and I'll say, can you convince me? And she tried. I'd already fallen asleep.
I didn't... I said, what are you worried about? And he just never replied.
I fell asleep for 3 hours. like, with my Nintendo Switch on my face because I was playing the new Zelda game. But, I didn't end up going in the afternoon. But at, like, 8 o'clock at night, I was like, I'm going to be spontaneous. Mm-hmm. and I'm gonna go to, like, a 9 o'clock screening of Mario movie.
Wow. And did you?
Well,
I was spontaneous and went to bed.
in my fervor, is that how you say it?
Yeah.
That's how to be spontaneous, mm-hmm. I just assumed that there would be sessions for, like, good movies at 9 p.m. So I drove over to Intrapilly because I was like, there's two cinemas. One of them will have Mario.
Good on you for getting that far, though.
Neither of them were playing Mario at 9 p.m. at night. And then I was like, oh, yeah, it's a kids' movie. So then I looked and my options were, like, the 2.5 hour Guardians of the Galaxy movie. Too long.
That's long for a 9 p.m. at night.
The three movies that were 90 minutes long were Evil Dead Rise.
I don't know what that is.
A horror, obviously. Okay. Evil Dead Rise. Love Again. The rom-com with Priyanka Chopra Jonas.
Oh.
And Book Club 2, The Next Chapter. So my choices were limited.
That is limited.
I spent like 20 minutes sitting there trying to decide.
And then eventually just came home?
I was like looking up the reviews, looking up the shit. Love Again, despite being a rom-com starring Priyanka Chopra Jonas, the guy from Outlander, and Celine Dion, sounded really depressing. Because it's about, like, she's a young widow.
Aye.
And she, like, still texts her dead spouse's phone number, like, as, like, a diary. And then the number gets reassigned. And it's the guy from Outlander. It's the guy on the other end. And then they, like, fall in love and shit.
That and I was like, that
sounds depressing.
That does sound depressing. And also, so
cut that out.
Yeah, fair. I'd also cut that out.
Book Club 2, The Next Chapter. I've not seen the first one.
I've never even heard of the first one.
The first one's about, like, women in their 60s and 70s reading 50 Shades of Grey.
That sounds iconic.
I don't think it is.
It sounds but, iconic.
This is Book Club 2, The Next Chapter, and they go to Venice. I don't know if there's any books involved.
That seems so unrelated.
But they go on a book club trip, I guess. Anyway, I've not seen the first one. I didn't think it would matter anyway.
Right.
But it has like 12% on Rotten Tomatoes.
No.
So I was like, it's just going to be bad.
Who, well, and for your first time by yourself, you don't want to see a bad one.
And then Evil Dead Rise has incredible reviews.
Right.
And like so much hype around it and stuff. And apparently it's genuinely scary and fantastic and stuff. But then I remembered in the trailer there was a scene with like a cheese grater, like ripping, like grating skin. And I was like, I think that's maybe a bit heavy for like 9 o'clock at night.
Yeah, 9 p.m. on a Friday.
So I went through McDonald's and got a frozen Coke and went home.
I'm proud of you for trying.
That's, I tried.
That is, and you tried hard. That's like the
I tried to be spontaneous. But
like basically ever.
I don't know why I thought that they would be playing a kids movie at 9 p.m.
Maybe at the beginning when it first came out, but it has been out for like 4 weeks now. I would be surprised if it has more than like 4 or 5 showings a day.
I checked and it does. It has like 20 screenings a day at each cinema. It's insane.
Get fucked.
No, serious? It genuinely does because, wow. It, I mean, it's massively popular. It's like made like $1 billion already.
What?
Yeah.
I haven't heard anything about it.
Really?
Yeah.
I have. Apparently, it's got no plot, but it's fun. You know? Yeah. Which, I mean, that's kind of what I would want from a Mario movie anyway.
Especially at night.
Yeah, but then, yeah, like the other one was like Evil Dead Rise. Sorry, not Evil Dead Rise, Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
Yeah.
And like, I do want to see it because
it looks good.
I've enjoyed the first two, you know.
Well, and apparently it is, like, the only things I've been hearing about it are that it's phenomenal and it feels like a Marvel movie again.
Yeah, and that it's like got really emotional stakes and stuff. So anyway, I read the full plot synopsis.
Oh my God.
What? I'm not the type of person that's, well, I read Lucy in my Valentino white bag. I'm not the type of person to care about spoilers. I'm happy to know the plot. In fact,
why go to the movie at all if you already know the plot?
Because it's different to reading about it. specifically, I only really spoil things for myself if I think they're gonna be sad.
Right.
Essentially.
I don't if I think they're gonna be really scary.
Interesting. Yeah. I would prefer to have the scares not spoiled, so for like if anything, horror movies, I'd rather not be spoiled.
Interesting.
But no, if it's for a movie that I think is gonna be emotional or a show or whatever, I will read the synopsis because I'm scared.
Okay.
Of showing emotion in public. in which movie theater would count. And Guardians of the Galaxy, based on all the trailers, looked like it was a fucking emo movie.
Yeah.
It does sound emotional and depressing as fuck.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
No. Nah, it's fine. I don't really
care. It's a good spoiler alert. Oh, okay. Spoiler alert. Skip 15 seconds if you care. None of the leads die.
I didn't think they were going to, so that's lucky.
I genuinely thought Rocket or Drax was gonna die.
Why?
Did you watch the trailers?
No.
Watch the trailers, then get back to me. but none of the leads die, so I think I'll be okay, but like, there's something really, really traumatic that happens in one of the characters' like backstories in the movies, and I just don't, like, traumatic and like intense enough that I think it could be, make you cry.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I don't know. Like, I want to see it, but I don't know if I want to go see it in cinemas because it looks... Fair. It still sounds depressing after reading the plot.
Yeah.
But it sounds good.
I'm not supporting Marvel movies at the cinema anymore. I'll probably still watch it when it comes out on Disney Plus, but I have no desire.
Go off. Ant-Man comes out next week on Disney Plus.
Yeah. I'll watch it at some point.
See, now even this Ant-Man 3 is tainted. Because of the Jonathan Majors stuff.
Yeah, so true.
And, like, obviously the trial hasn't happened yet, so we don't know if he's innocent or not.
I think we do.
Well, apparently there's, like, video evidence that he is innocent.
Whack.
But they can't, like, come out with that until the actual trial, which I think is in, like, August. But...
That would be...
The whole thing's wild, and I am shook that Disney's not made any statements or decisions, purely because in the past they've been rash.
Yeah, that's fair.
With decisions like that, like with James Gunn's old 2011 tweets coming up.
Yeah.
And they were just jokes.
Yeah.
They, like, fired him the next day.
Yeah.
And then rehired him 2 months later. Awkward.
It was awkward.
Which, I bet they hate themselves for that, because in that 2 months that he was fired, he got poached by DC and Warner Brothers, and now he's the head of DC competing with Marvel.
But can they hate themselves for that? Because DC is shit. It's not doing very well. Everyone thinks that all of the decisions he's making over there are terrible decisions, so...
I think the only reason he's made terrible decisions is because it's not just a complete reboot. If they scrapped everything before he came in, I think he could probably build it from the ground up and make it better.
I mean, he probably
could. But because
they're
trying to incorporate elements from the previous movies and stuff in, like, a new mixed world or whatever, I think it's going to be a bit of an uphill battle. And I think it's going to take a lot of selling to the audiences to...
Which is not going to happen because, as we all know, no one's even going to see the movies anymore.
Well,
give it a chance.
I do find it bold of Warner Brothers to give the reins to James Gunn when his DC movie flopped.
It's true.
Like, the Suicide Squad, I think, maybe just hit $100 million.
Really?
On, like, $150, $200 million budget, plus another $100 million marketing.
Wow.
So, like, it didn't make its money back.
Objectively, that film was actually...
Fine.
Yeah. It was
fine. I was a little disappointed about that. I felt the same way about the Suicide Squad that I felt about Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Yeah.
In that it didn't have a huge amount of substance.
Yeah.
It kind of just felt like...
That's fair.
Characters existing in this space.
That's reasonable.
For, like... And, like, that's good for, like, a character piece. But if the character piece is about, like, 8 characters at once...
Yeah.
I don't think it's quite as effective.
No, it was definitely crowded.
But the whole thing's interesting. I don't know.
I don't know if interesting is the right word that I would use personally, but...
Go off, bestie.
It's There were choices.
Did you see that Adam Driver's pretty much confirmed to be Reed Richards in Fantastic Four?
No, I didn't see that.
And the odds are on Margot Robbie being Sue Storm.
Interesting.
Yeah. Blah, 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 blah. And then
interesting.
People are already having meltdowns because apparently they're considering either making, you know, The Thing.
No.
The Rock guy.
Yeah.
His name's The Thing. They're That's considering horrifying. Either using the female counterpart of him from the comics. I don't know. The Thingette. I don't fucking know what she's called. She-Thing.
Jesus.
And potentially making either female or not white. So people are already having meltdowns about that. And I'm like, I think it would be a cop-out anyway to do that because he's CGI for most of the time. But anyway.
So true.
This whole casting process for the Fantastic Four has been going on for genuinely years. And I'm excited that it seems like they're starting to actually nail down and cast some people. The only reason I'm gagged by Adam Driver signing on to this is because I'm shook that he's signing on to another major franchise, like 6-movie commitment.
Yeah.
With Disney.
That's fair. Although
because Star Wars is Disney as well.
Yeah, I don't feel like he... I mean, he did. Maybe I just don't remember. But I don't feel like he ever really came out and said he had a particularly bad time with Disney or with Star Wars, did he? Not like Daisy.
I think he did
John
because
did.
He's the only character... he's the only actor from the sequel trilogy that refused to do any additional materials for the theme parks and stuff, theme park rides.
Interesting.
So if you go on, like, the new Disney Star Wars ride, like Rise of the Resistance or whatever, yeah. It has all of the actors reprising their roles because it was in their contracts, and then Kylo Ren is just back to how he was before the first movie.
Oh.
So, like, full mask,
All
the stuff, and, like, a different voice actor.
Interesting.
Which I find funny, but I don't know. It doesn't necessarily imply that he hates the movies, but I feel like most of the actors have expressed distaste.
Well, this is my thing, right? It's like, oh, most of them have, so if he did have a bad time, then why hasn't he? You know?
I would imagine he's getting, like, $500 million for his Marvel movies over the years. For the next, like, decade.
Well, exactly. And that, mixed with his apparently not public discontent, it kind of makes me go, it doesn't really surprise me that he's signed on to Marvel.
See, I thought that he would probably sign on to, like, because, like, a lot of the big name actors who want to do a Marvel movie or want to cash in on it,
yeah,
they'll do the villain role.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because it's such a short commitment.
That's fair.
I really thought he was going to commit to being Doctor Doom, who's the main villain of the Fantastic Four. I thought he was going to commit to being Doctor Doom for, like, 3 movies.
Yeah.
But then I was like, hold on. The villain, who for pretty much the entire time is in a, like, cloak and face covering mask, is maybe a little bit similar to Kylo Ren. Really, so perhaps that's why, I don't know, the whole thing's...
Well, I mean, if you kind of, I don't know, like, I mean, if I think about, like, see, I feel like there's a real difference these days to how they cast characters in Marvel than obviously how they did it at the beginning, because at the beginning everyone was pretty much an unknown, right? Not
more
everyone, but more or less, right? Then certainly not the big names that they are now. Maybe Robert Downey Jr. is the exception to that, but Scarlett Johansson again, maybe, but yes. Definitely not the same level.
They were all at lulls in there.
Yeah. Whereas now, if you think about, like, the Eternals, for example, who got fucking Angelina Jolie,
yeah,
like, I think they do it differently. They can do it differently now because they can offer so much money. And I reckon that must be almost what entices those big names to it, because they go, oh, well, I can do these movies for a massive amount of money and not that much of a commitment, really, because it's all fucking, like, green screen stuff.
Mm.
And they go, well, I just do this. I make a shit ton of money. And then I don't have to do any big blockbusters for a few years, or I don't have to do any of those, like, mainstream stories that I don't believe in.
I do agree. I agree, but I specifically think that that's been relevant for the past post Avengers Endgame.
No, yeah, that's what movies, I'm talking about. Yeah.
Which,
yeah.
like, I don't blame them. I understand that they had to try and get big names to draw people back in after the conclusion that was Avengers Endgame.
Yeah, yeah.
But all of the casting decisions have been, like, very biggest name or, you know, really quick castings.
Yes.
Where I think with Fantastic Four, they've genuinely been casting it for, like, 2 years now.
Oh, yeah, no, sure. Yeah, that's fair. No, yeah.
So I'm like, I hope this is indicative that they're going to start, like, properly casting, you know, people that are good for the roles and still maybe big names, but good for the roles and, like, taking their time on pre-production and all of this stuff, because I think, it came out, like, a couple weeks ago that Ant-Man 3 literally didn't have a completed script when they were shooting.
Whack.
So, like,
That's insane.
Yeah, it's fucking crazy. And apparently, more or less, that has been kind of Marvel for the past...
Since Endgame?
15 years. No, awesome. The whole time, apparently. It's just been that Kevin Feige has had such a singular vision that it's come together, and they were able to, like, throw money into reshoots and stuff because they budgeted, like, half the budget to reshoots.
Right.
But now, like, post-Endgame, it's kind of unraveling a bit.
Yeah.
Literally the other day, one of the producers of Iron Man, the original Iron Man, was like, there's three scenes that were cut from the movie that, if they ever see the light of day, could destroy any of the actors or any of the writers or directors' careers. They're that bad.
Wow, that's so funny.
And I'm like,
I want to see them.
Wow. And apparently the direct quote of Kevin Feige talking about that was like, this producer guy, I can't remember his name, but he was like, we were talking about it, and we've been super secretive about these scenes because they're genuinely that bad. And Kevin was like, we can never let these see the light of day. If anyone ever sees these, our careers are over.
That is so iconic.
And I'm like,
the drama.
What is in these three scenes from Iron Man?
Literally. They must
that
be
that
like
bad.
They must be not only really badly made, but they must be like super duper like racist or something.
Problematic,
like,
in some way.
Yeah, problematic in some way. Yeah.
Yeah, interesting, probably. Yeah. But yeah, so like, I'm like, if that was the first Iron Man movie.
I know.
And it's just been cobbled together since. One, that's really impressive that they were able to have that many hits and so few misses over the first 15 years of the MCU or whatever. Who's the head of Disney? Bob Iger got ousted and or the other way around. They just did a coup and fired the head.
That's
and
so funny.
The old head came back in, who was before,
classic, it's giving Apple and Steve
before
Jobs.
The last like 7 years or something. Anyway, he's come back in and he's like, we're cutting like half the content down.
Oh, good.
Because we need to get back to quality over quantity.
Yes.
So there's going to be like, I think they're halving the amount of Marvel shows. They're not doing 4 movies a year.
Is this even past the ones that they've already announced?
Yeah, so they're spreading out the ones they've announced.
Oh,
even more.
Okay. Interesting. When did they make that announcement?
A month ago.
Oh, okay. Okay. Interesting. I was going to say, if this is post-writer's strike, I feel like that probably...
No, it was pre. But I find it really interesting, and we're back. We had to take a pause.
Sorry. I had to take a phone call.
It's all Maddie's fault. So rude. So nasty and so rude. I think I want to tell you something that is hilarious.
Okay.
I don't know why I phrased it like that. That was really random. Really wild. It's okay. You know how Britney Spears is writing a memoir?
No, I didn't know that. But
you did know that. We've talked about it on this very podcast.
Oh.
Like 6 months ago. Post conservatorship. She's been writing a memoir.
Right.
Like a tell-all. And apparently there's like a full-on list of celebrities who are, like, trying to sue the publishing company and stuff to get it not released.
No.
Because there's so much dirt in it on them.
Iconic!
So, presumably, this is people like Justin Timberlake and stuff.
Yeah.
But apparently, there's fully a list of celebrities who are really fucking stressed about Britney Spears' memoir coming out, because apparently it's very juicy.
That's so interesting.
I think that's hilarious. And I also saw one person tweet, and they were like, y'all better let her release this fucking book, because if you don't let her release it soon, she's gonna post it on Instagram anyway.
So true.
I was like, that's so true. On the Britney train, but less upbeat, is the fact that I've been seeing so much shit talking about her.
This is what I was gonna bring
like,
up.
Like, hashtag Britney is missing and stuff like that. I'm very uncomfortable with that.
No, I totally agree. Okay, I think it's been kind of renewed over the past couple of days because she posted, Britney posted a video on Instagram, where she was doing a dance, blah, 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 whatever. And as her, like, hands moved over her face,
the filter was moved.
And people have been speculating that as the filter glitches, it's revealing that it is not Britney behind, but in fact somebody pretending to be Britney. I don't personally feel like that is an appropriate thing to be speculating about, particularly because, I mean, the biggest thing that you notice is she goes from full face of makeup to no makeup. I feel like it's probably much more likely that she's just got some kind of makeup filter on.
Yeah.
As opposed to it being literally...
And they were like, but it's the same makeup every time, every dance video, every time she posts on Instagram. So it's clearly just that they have one good photo of Britney's face that they keep using AI... deep faking to put on like Jamie Lynn or something.
Yes, that is the most popular thing that I see as well.
And I'm like, babes, I think the fact that it's the same makeup more tells us that she's using a filter.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Than it does that she's literally missing. I don't know. It just seems very outrageous to be kind of speculating about something so kind of intense.
Well, I mean, see, but then the other side of it is that you go,
they were right about Free Britney.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
They were right about that.
I've got a feeling that I've not seen anything to prove that that video of her glitching is real.
What do you mean? Oh, what do you mean?
There's been no proof that it's real, that that video is unedited by, like, the fan who posted it.
Oh, right. Interesting. Yeah. Honestly, oh man, I don't know, just the whole thing just feels so, it feels so crazy to me.
It's, yeah, no, it's absolutely
just
outrageous.
Hard to be is this something that is, people should not be having any say in, or is this something that maybe people should be digging deeper into?
Yeah, well, I like to think that if something as sinister as what they're implying has happened, that it would not.
Yeah, yeah, it wouldn't have
be
gone
possible
this long.
To go this long. Yeah, you know, to.
No, I would totally agree, because people aren't just saying she's missing. People are full on saying that she's died / been killed.
They?
Yeah, yeah. Oh. So it's like full on, like.
They're doing an Avril.
Yes, yes, literally.
Wow.
I don't know. I just think the whole thing is just so, it just feels so icky.
Yeah.
It feels so icky. Like,
and
leave
I think
the
that there's probably,
alone.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was about to say, is I think there's probably a lot of nuance to the whole thing about, like, parasocial shit and the fact that these fans were able to hashtag Free Britney.
Yeah.
So, like, it's given them credence to like, go too far. I don't know.
No, it's really, really true. It's really, really true.
It's interesting. But anyway, I hope she releases this memoir and exposes a bunch of celebrities. That would be hilarious.
It really would be. And you know what? She's fucking well within her rights to do it, to be honest, at this point. So
I'd love that. Have you seen the speculation that Taylor's written a memoir?
Oh, yeah, but it's not true. It's, I don't think it's true. I think the memoir that everyone thinks is hers, it's being released on the 9th of January or whatever, I think has been confirmed to be a BTS one.
Oh.
Yeah, so I think that's my understanding of the situation, at least.
Interesting.
Speaking of Taylor Swift.
I don't know that we should talk about
okay.
the relationship stuff, because I don't know
that
what we can say
private,
that's not
judgmental. And speculation.
I will say that he's just, like, a couple of hours ago been spotted with, like, Blake Lively and
Oof.
Ryan Reynolds and Sabrina Carpenter in the at the Tonight's concert.
Again, oh my god, this is like the fourth or fifth one.
It was like the fourth one. They were papped yesterday holding hands.
I mean,
it's look, like it's essentially confirmed now. What went from a week ago being a ridiculous over-the-top rumor to being confirmed in like a week.
Look, I mean, the thing is that I don't know. Again, this is kind of a nuanced situation, right? Because on the one hand, it's like, okay, does anybody have any right to pass judgment on other people's relationships? Probably not. On the other hand, this guy is genuinely problematic, right? Mm-hmm. Like, genuinely does not seem to be a very good person.
Yeah, he hasn't been quote-unquote cancelled.
No.
But there's enough there to make a pretty reasonable argument that he's
bad.
Yeah. Did you see specifically, I think like 2 weeks ago at one of his concerts, he was talking about errors.
Mm.
And like the types of errors that musicians go through.
Yeah.
And he was like, you know, our band over the years have gone through so many errors, and like personally, and I'm happy to announce now that my asshole era is over. And I don't know if that's just white man speak for, it's okay, guys, I'm not racist anymore.
Yeah.
But that's very much what it felt like.
Well, did you watch the video that I sent you last night? Because apparently only a month ago he was on a podcast saying, again, quite racist things.
Yeah.
Man, I just don't know. I don't know. And I think, I think again, the way that it pertains to Taylor is whether it is a PR relationship or a real relationship, whether it's casual or serious, whatever.
Why would it be a PR relationship?
No, I don't know, but I think that's what people are just hoping because they don't want it to be real.
I think the fact that he's British tells us it's real.
Horrifying.
If Miss Swift has a fetish, it's English boys. Specifically London boys.
Oh my God, stop. I mean, honestly,
London Boy is kind of a banger.
No, it is.
When it first released, I was like, this is a touch too cringe. But then the other day I was listening to it and I was like, hold on a minute. Maybe Miss Thing was onto something with this one. No, it's kind of a banger.
No, it is kind of a banger. Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. It's just so icky. The whole thing is so icky. Whether it's real or not, it's icky.
I mean, I like to believe people can change. I just...
Okay, they can have to change, show, but within a month?
Well, they have... Like... I was about to say they have to show, not tell us, that they've improved as a human.
Yeah. You know? Not only that, but they also have to, I feel like, put in some time. Mm. Some, you know, time in fixing things.
Yeah.
They don't, as you say, they don't just say, my asshole hair era is done. Also,
my asshole hair.
Yeah. Hera.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, like,
God, I don't know.
Thinking of, like, you know, people like Armie Hammer and Kevin Spacey who, like, were outed as sexual abusers.
Yeah.
And then never changed their ways and have been...
Yes.
Doubling down and shit.
Yeah.
There's obviously no redemption, full stop, for them.
Yes.
And then there's people like, Kevin Hart.
Yeah.
Who has an extremely, extremely homophobic past. He fully was like, if I have a gay son, I'm disowning him. I'm kicking him out. I'm not going to love him. And that's why he was fired from the Oscars, for hosting the Oscars that one year. Fully, he's never apologized or changed his views. People just kind of forgot, and he's uncancelled now.
Also horrifying. Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, Mark Wahlberg. I mean, he literally... You know, Simu Liu... He makes it hard to defend him.
Yeah, he does.
He went...
Like, I didn't know about this until, like,
2 years ago.
Night.
I think I'm about to say something different, but then I'll talk about that.
Oh, okay.
Like, 2 years ago, Simu Liu did an interview where he was like... people have just forgotten that Mark Wahlberg fully beat an Asian man almost to death, like 30 years ago, and has a violent racist past against Asians. And he was in this interview where he was like, and I can't believe Hollywood kind of just let him forget that.
Yeah.
And then he just finished shooting a movie with Mark Wahlberg.
Oof.
And has like made excuses for him now in the press. He's been like, nah, it's fine, he's changed, we talked about it and he's good. And it's like, I don't think, okay.
Maybe
he's never publicly repented for that, but okay.
Yeah.
And then just in this past week, an article came out written by an Asian person that was basically like, hey, Hollywood, there's more Asian male actors that are hot that can be the leads in your movies. Mm. Specifically, Ken in Barbie shouldn't have been Simu Liu. I read the article, and frankly, it was quite mean-spirited.
Mm.
It was like, you should have... Simu Liu was bad for this role, and you shouldn't have cast him and stuff. And I'm like, that's objectively untrue. He's a solid actor. He's hot as fuck.
Yeah, that's fair.
And he can play a himbo. He's so good for the role of Ken.
That's true.
So, like, that argument doesn't make sense. It felt very mean-spirited. But, like, it obviously, the article made good points that... Especially with, specifically with Asian actors and actresses, it's very much Hollywood will like pick one or two,
yeah,
and give them all the roles.
Yes, that's true.
That's objectively true. Simu Liu then tweeted out the article and he was upset about it because he was like, "You're saying I'm stealing all these roles from up and coming Asian actors."
Mm.
When the only two roles you could point out that I was in were Shang-Chi and Barbie.
Yeah. Iconic.
And I was like, he's right. You're saying he's stealing all these major leading roles from
who?
Hot Asian men. And then you try and reference all of these roles he's taken up and it's Barbie and Shang-Chi. I'm like, that's not quite the argument. So there was two strikes against this article. It was quite mean-spirited. And, like, objectively, Simu Liu has not been in much.
Yes. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I was like, I feel bad for Simu. This is an annoying thing to have to deal with.
Yes.
You might know more about what happened next than me. But apparently the writer of this article, who, again, the article made some good points and objectively true points.
Just not about Simu. It was kind of mean. Yeah.
The journalist who wrote this article went on TikTok and was like, lol, I wrote this article talking about there not being enough leading Asian men in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And then it had, like, he cut to, like, a screenshot of his Instagram DMs being, like, Simu Liu is typing kind of thing.
Right.
And everyone was, like, acting like Simu Liu killed his firstborn or something.
Yeah. Okay. So this is, I didn't know any of that backstory. What I saw was someone screenshot, because Simu, I think my understanding, has made a comment. It must have been on that video where he was like.
And then he made a comment on that video, yes. And then
he said something.
The journalist made another video screenshotting the comment he made on the original video talking about the article.
Yeah.
It's like a whole Inception thing.
Yeah, it was. So the comment that Simu made on a video was something that was like, something about how the video or the article writer was using him for clout.
Yeah.
And then somebody else replied and was, the original poster, the original person, article writer, video poster,
journalist?
Replied and was like, it's literally about you. You commenting has only added more, like, popularity or more clout to
you're
the video.
You're only exasperating the clout claims.
And then the video that I saw was somebody laughing at that and being like, yeah, Simu really kind of dug himself into a hole there. Whereas now I know the whole backstory. I'm like, actually, I don't know. I think they were like, oh, he really just can't take criticism or something like that.
Yeah, they were saying he's so sensitive.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah. But now I know all of that. I'm like, I don't think that's particularly fair.
Especially, the fact that, like, it's still recording, don't worry.
I know, I just wanted to see how long we've been going for.
Oh. Yeah. We'll wrap up in a sec. But, yeah, I think specifically, like, in that instance, him commenting on the video...
Yeah!
...would be exacerbating the situation if the video itself wasn't literally screenshots exacerbating the situation.
Yeah, no, it's really
showing their, like, DMs and stuff, you know.
I mean, the video that I saw about it criticizing Simu kind of made it seem like this was all Simu's fault. He'd started had responded to him doing something weird, and it had devolved from there. Whereas it actually seems like, in fact, something not particularly nice happened. Simu tried to defend himself, and now people are making fun of him for it.
Yeah, for being, like, sensitive and being hurt that Asian people aren't supporting other Asian people.
Weird.
It seems to be why he's upset, is because, this Asian media writer, this Asian journalist was like, you're stealing roles from other Asians. And he was like, are these roles in the room with us? You know?
Yeah. Weird. That's weird. That's a whole weird situation.
The whole thing's weird. And to be, like, fully transparent, Simu Liu does have a kind of checkered past with, like, some problematic comments and stuff.
Yeah.
I think, like, his Reddit comments from, like, 10 years ago came out. I want to say last year. And there was some sexist stuff in it and stuff like that. You know, some homophobic stuff.
I mean, bad, obviously. But I'm not really sure that it has anything to do with
this. Publicly apologized. And he's publicly acted and done actions tried to course correct. He's made a public and effort, concerted effort to actually like change and to prove that he's changed. These are like comments from him who's like I think 17 or something on Reddit, but whatever, it's not an excuse for being a shitty person, but like he's changed, and I think that that's obvious.
Well, and again, that has nothing to do with
this specific
situation. Yeah, it's not like
people were just like Twitter stans and stuff were just waiting for something to come along to try and break him down again. Yeah. The whole thing's frankly wild. I don't know. Like we tell men to be like open with their emotions and stuff, and then like, hey, this article hurt my feelings, and it's kind of mean, and it makes me feel like shit. And they're like, well, you're a sensitive little bitch.
I know, that's crazy.
Specific instance feels very... The whole thing just seems very misguided.
Particularly if you're saying you read it and it did...
I did, yeah.
A bit mean.
I'll link it in the comments below if I can re-find... I don't know if it's been deleted or what, but I'll try and find it and link it below because it was genuinely, yeah.
Interesting.
It was like... It was like a personal attack on Simu Liu when he was specifically talking about the Barbie role.
Oof.
It was really wild. Wild. And I still don't fully know why the journalist was using...
Interesting.
It was very fucking weird. Anyway. Is there any other, like, topics you can think of that have happened in the last couple of weeks? Oh, the elephant in the room this week is that we missed 2 weeks.
Yeah. The first one was my fault, the second one was Nicholas's.
Yeah, that seems to kind of be how it be.
It's true.
It's fine.
It is fine.
I would rather wait the 2 weeks and put out an episode where we are talking about things that we have things to say about than...
So true.
You know?
So true. Yeah.
Jinx under roof. Yeah, did you have any more pop culture moments to talk about?
I don't think so. I didn't write anything down. I feel like a lot happened, but I don't know what they are.
I did, but we're now, I believe, running over in just over an hour, probably.
Yeah.
So I just want to recommend the Apple TV Plus show Silo.
Okay. You know I won't watch it, but I appreciate it.
Well, I was going to say it's a pretty good Watch It With Your Parents one.
Interesting.
Like, the first episode has a little bit of sex stuff, but it's not explicit or anything. It's like in the context of trying to get pregnant as well, so it's sci-fi. It's like post-apocalyptic world where humanity has been kind of living in this 200 story silo, underground silo, because the surface is a wasteland.
Interesting.
Well, TBH, the vibes it's giving is very much District 13.
Oh, okay.
Hunger Games vibes. Like Mockingjay Part 1 vibes, but like actually entertaining. and like, yeah, stuff to shit to say.
Right.
But it's kind of got everything that you could possibly want in a show like this. It's got like a government conspiracy and mysteries and... it's just really, really cool and fun, and it's like the first show I've watched this year. The first new show I've watched this year with like 60-minute episodes that I've not fallen asleep in.
Interesting.
Because it's genuinely engaging.
Okay, interesting.
And entertaining. All right.
Maybe I will watch it with mom and dad.
And I do think, yeah, it's a very good one to watch with others because,
okay,
one, you can speculate about the mysteries and shit. Fair. And two, there's nothing egregious in terms of uncomfortable scenes to watch.
Fair, that's fair. We're currently watching Alone Australia.
On SBS?
On SBS, yeah.
Interesting.
It's been going for so long.
Nothing. I was going to say, didn't that start like a month and a half ago?
It did. It has. It goes, there's an
episode. Is it just one episode a week though?
One episode a week, yeah.
That's all right.
Well, see, the issue is with this is I haven't watched a lot of the other Alone series because I don't like watching them kill animals. But I did watch this one because the first episode was fucking hilarious because classic Australians. But all of them have turned out to be little bitches and there's only three people left already. So many people left within like 2 days. So the first four episodes were like the first 2 days and now all of the rest of the episodes have been like 5 or 6 days in one because nothing is happening. So it's been
interesting,
low-key boring because as it turns out Australians are not survivalists.
Well, I feel like the premise of the show is kind of, it's one big flaw is that they run the risk of every season having nothing happen for like long periods of time.
No, for sure, for
it's kind of just
sure,
you know,
particularly because it's very reliant on the person actually turning on the camera and filming what they're doing
and like being entertaining.
Sure.
They should take a page out of the handbook written for like Housewives or Drag Race or something, where it's like they need to be putting in a genuine effort to try and win this competition.
Yeah.
But they also need to be aware that it's a show and they need to be entertaining.
Well, see, I think that's kind of the strength in a lot of the other series is because Mum and Dad have watched fucking like 10 seasons of this show at this point and they really enjoy it. Yeah. Whereas this, even there with like with this one, it's really not particularly entertaining. And I actually honestly think it's because all of these people, like in all of their flashbacks and stuff, are talking about how they're trained survivalists for the desert, but they've gone to Tasmania. So they're in the middle of a rainforest. Yeah, this is where this
is. Is there lots of snakes?
No, there's no snakes and there's no spiders or anything, but it is raining like 90% of the time. They can't find any food because all they know, all of these people know how to do is survive in the desert. So none of them are equipped to handle Tasmania because not only is it raining all the time, it's fucking freezing, blah blah blah, so they just don't know what to do. And I think that's what's really
the producers were obviously like, huh, we're gonna put them in a situation that they're not trained for
exactly and see what happens.
They'll have enough survival knowledge to like be okay, but not enough that they'll not struggle.
It's
kind of like backfired a tiny bit.
Well, it has in a way because now none of them can find any food, so now we're more than 3 weeks in and none of them have eaten basically any food for more than 20 days. So none of them can hardly do any activities because they're so exhausted, don't have any energy. So it's kind of like, cool, I'm just watching this person be sad about the fact that they're starving. Like, that's...
At least watch Survivor and have them argue with other people about it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even in the other episodes of Alone, people are trying to find food. They are finding food. And so then they're trying to build shelter and blah, blah, blah. They're trying to combat being alone with their thoughts, whereas literally all that any of these people talk about is, wow, I'm so hungry, I wish depressed. I could go get KFC. It's like, oh god.
Interesting.
Yeah,
which, by the way, so if any producers at Channel 10 are listening, you need to cut down the episode run of Survivor Australia because it's so fucking daunting to get into because they're like 35 episode seasons.
My god, that's so many.
Every second episode is 90 minutes long. And every other episode is 60. What? So half the episodes are 60 minutes and half of them are 90 minutes.
That's horrifying. Minus ads. Why are they that long?
Australian TV. And it's like a 35 episode season, 34 episodes.
That seems so unnecessary though. Like, just cut down the number of contestants. Like,
according to the fandom, the Survivor fandom, Australia's the best one.
Whack.
Because it's both production quality, drama, like strategy, challenges. Apparently it's all really well balanced.
That's so interesting.
And I want to watch them, but I'm like, this is like 40 plus hours of content for a season.
That's insane. That's so interesting.
Because they air, in Australia, we air 2 to 3 episodes of a show a week.
So true, of course.
Because of, I guess, Australians, that's just how we view.
Or we don't have much television, to be honest. So
we don't have much original content. Yeah.
It's just reality TV, basically.
Yes, and I guess the Australian public prefers 2 to 3 episodes a week over 4 or 5 weeks than 20 episode seasons over
20 weeks.
20 weeks.
I mean, to be fair, I would.
Like, I am too, yeah, but yeah. Like watching Big Brother for the past few years since I came back,
yeah,
and having to be there like fully, like Sunday to Wednesday.
Yeah, that's also very true.
So difficult to catch up on. But yeah, I don't know. Interesting.
Very interesting.
Perhaps alone could scratch that itch without having to commit to like 45 hours of TV.
Well, if you're going to watch it, definitely watch.
International.
Yeah. Also, I would probably say Naked and Afraid is actually better because at least there's usually...
I can't justify watching Naked and Afraid.
Well, it's kind of just more entertaining, but it's the same vibe. But then less... It's just they're kind not... of
gimmicky?
Yeah, a little. A little, but it, like... I mean, they're both, I would say probably the Alone ones are more like hardcore survivalists.
Yeah.
But Naked and Afraid is a more entertaining watch. And also you see less animals die, in case that matters to anybody, like it does to me.
No, I would be the same. I remember in uni we had to watch an Australian documentary about a bunch of like horrible fucking concept. I think it was like ABC or SBS about a bunch of bigoted white people having to like live in indigenous communities for, I think, like,
oof,
2 weeks. Ooh. You know, like...
That doesn't seem...
So basically, we had to watch these white people be, like, criticizing...
Oh, my God.
...the way that indigenous people live and stuff. Indigenous Australians live, and...
That's horrifying.
Fully, like, they, you know, were hunting for food and stuff, and they found... They killed a turtle. Which like was really fucking hard to watch, but it's like part of their culture, so like personally I wouldn't watch it, but I would not complain.
Yeah, no, of course. Yeah you do you.
Or like go on and about how gross it is and all this stuff, but they were like all complaining about it, and I was like, but it's like,
if they all,
they have permission to be doing this from the government.
Yeah,
it's like,
As if they all don't participate in a way less ethical consumption of meat, let's just be really honest. Like,
very true.
You don't see it and you don't do it yourselves, but what you're doing is way worse.
So are there no spiders or are there no snakes in Tasmania?
No, I think there are, and there are spiders. Sorry, I was just remembering one of the early episodes had some Tasmanian devils and one of the people freaked out and went home the next day. It was so fucking funny.
Oh, my God.
But we haven't seen any.
Thank God.
So, yeah.
See, that's really what stops me from watching so many, like, survival shows.
That's fair.
I just don't want to see snakes.
I mean, I don't feel like I've ever really seen a snake. I mean, maybe someone will be like, oh, there's a snake over there, and they'll, like, zoom in, but that will be, like, 2 seconds and that's it. I've never seen any, like, snakes in their beds or spiders crawl on their face or anything like that.
Oh, I would be out.
Yeah, same.
What was the... I watched that... It wasn't quite survival, but it was, like, strategy competition, The Bridge.
Oh, on the Paramount one that had Plus last year. Yeah,
and it was in Tasmania as well. And, again, half the days it was raining.
Yeah.
And another quarter it was gloomy weather.
Yeah.
And then for, like, 2/3 of it, it was just... misty.
Yeah.
So much fog.
Fog? So there's like one day where it was sunny.
Exactly. That show though was only like 8 episodes.
Nice. Love that. It was raining all the earth.
And the drama, like, spoiler alert for season 1 of The Bridge Australia. I don't think it's been renewed. But the premise of the show is like only one person can cross the bridge to claim the money.
Yep.
And there's no rules past that.
Iconic.
So in regards to the book, the prize money, so the concept is like nobody trusts anyone because whoever they pick to cross the bridge could hypothetically keep the money.
Yeah.
So the whole season I was like, that's fun, that's a like fun way to keep it going. What I didn't know, spoiler alert again, just to be safe, the person who crosses the bridge is nominated to cross the bridge does keep the money.
Oh.
Super dramatic and intense. What I didn't know, because, like, you hear that, you think that they're going to grab the money, hop in the speedboat, and fuck off.
Right.
They had to...
go back.
Individually, the rest of the cast would cross the bridge to go home, and individually, this poor woman had to confess and tell every single contestant one by one... that she was keeping the money and they were getting nothing.
That's so funny.
It was... insane. It was so dramatic and like so intense.
Funny.
And I was like, I don't know if I was prepared for this. It was so wild. Like, genuinely one of the wildest 20 minutes of television. And, like, she's sobbing and, like, heartbroken. And, like, half the contestants are like, yeah, this is a really shitty thing. You're an asshole. And, like, fuck off. And the other half are like, you know, I get it. You're young and you need this money for... I mean, they all have...
Reasons to need the money,
But, so, like, another, quarter of them are like, it's fine. It's okay. It's a game. We all came here. We knew that this is possible, and you need the money to do this thing that you were talking about. Whatever.
Yeah.
She gave some money to one of the people.
Interesting.
But otherwise, it was just her sobbing and having to tell people that they're going home with. It was fucking wild.
This whole show traumatizing.
Oh, truly. Like, you would have but like this show whole show was kind of wild. Like, there was one betrayal moment in it where. Basically, there's this little island in the middle that they're trying to get to, but these flares kind of get shot from that island across onto the mainland, and people go and collect them. There's like a little... There's either, like, supplies or a sneaky challenge, like, here's some supplies. Also, if you get rid of half these supplies, you will get $5,000 from the cash prize when you're done.
Iconic.
Stuff like that. One of them, a flare comes across in the middle of the night, one... person sees it, they go and read it, and it says, if you leave the show now and successfully destroy the bridge, what's been built of the bridge so far, you'll get $30,000 from the cash prize pool.
Iconic.
And you'll get to leave it, like, immediately once it's done. They obviously accept.
Yeah, sure.
Fully...
Wait, sorry, how much was the original, how much is the prize money?
I think like $100,000 or something.
Oh, okay, so that's like a substantial amount. That's like
especially if they end up splitting.
Yeah.
But fully they made this woman get like gas, lighter fluid, the whole thing, burn the entire bridge on fire. So she lights the match, she throws it, she, like, does the smug look because it's drama of TV.
Yeah.
And then she hops on a boat and fucks off.
That's so funny.
It's, like, 3 a.m. The rest of the cast come out half asleep. In the middle of the night. And just stand there staring at this bridge that they've spent half the show making, building, realizing that they have to start from scratch, essentially.
That's so iconic.
And that someone's gone and presumably taken a good chunk of money.
That's so iconic.
The fucking audacity.
That's so funny.
Like, some of these competition shows are like, the viewers can't know that the producers meddle. In this one, they're like, fucking burn that bridge down.
Yeah, we will give you what you need to do.
We will give you money. It's, like, genuinely one of the wildest shows I've seen. Every second contestant was like, I'm a mastermind and I'm sneaky as fuck. And then immediately would be clocked and then, like, get eliminated. So funny.
Or people could be eliminated.
They had to vote each other out as well,
Oh my god, that's so funny.
It was because, some of them were like, here's some supplies. Also, vote out the person who you think is a cunt. And they'll have to go around a circle and be like, I think you're a cunt. I think you deserve hell. Like, shit like that. Not like, obviously that, but like, they had to like tell people how much they hated them kind of thing.
The equivalent.
Genuinely wild show. I highly recommend it. I think there's... a couple of international versions. I don't know if there's a US one, but...
A US one would be also unhinged.
It would be unhinged, yeah. Wild show.
That sounds wild.
And probably the only, like, survival show I've watched in the past few years.
Yeah, that sounds... I mean, definitely I don't feel like it's a survival show. I think it's just a strategy.
I mean, it's trying to survive the trauma, the mental trauma.
Yeah, Jesus, that sounds intense.
So entertaining, but genuinely wild.
Low-key iconic. Cool.
Who knows? I'm still waiting for the Superman casting.
That's fair.
And stuff to talk about DC. Because I'm genuinely curious at what direction James Gunn's going to go in. Because knowing him, it's going to be pretty bright and lighthearted.
Yeah. Yes.
Right?
Probably.
Although, did you see, like, all of the ratings guide, like, parents of America are complaining about Guardians 3 because apparently it's, like, super traumatizing and violent and, like, really, 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 really brutal.
No, I haven't seen that.
People
that
have meltdowns, necessarily... and they're saying this should have been rated MA-15+.
I honestly, that doesn't necessarily surprise me, because if they've let him keep in fuck, like, that doesn't, it probably, I wouldn't have guessed that it would then go further than that and have intense violence and be really emotional and traumatic, blah, 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 but it doesn't surprise me that that's the case, you know, like, those things kind of.
Because it's apparent, like, the movie itself is about Rocket's backstory.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming so much of the gore is the torture experiments that are done to the animals.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. One of the biggest things I've seen about this is that Peter, the animal rights.
Oh, yes. Activist. P-E-T-A, yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, Peter. Okay.
Yeah, no, the animal rights activists organization came out and were like, this is the best movie in to support animal rights that's going to come out this year. And it's like, ooh, I don't know if they were necessarily someone you wanted to be supporting your movie, but
it's I mean, the plot is that the villain is the high evolutionary who's trying to create superior species, and he creates his own version of Earth called Counter Earth.
Smart.
Where it's populated by animal human hybrids.
Interesting.
The furries are going to have a field day with this movie.
Oh my god. Speaking of furries, the Met Gala.
Oh, yeah. The Met Gala.
Or should I say the Jellicle Ball?
Yes. Oh, my God. I love that. The Met Gala was wild. And I'm obsessed with the fact that, like, 15 celebrities dressed up as the cat. As Karl Lagerfeld's
horrifying
cat. Thinking that they would be the only ones.
So funny.
And then there was, like, 15 of them.
There were so many. Anyway, that was really the main thing to talk about with the Met Gala, outside of the fact that, again, horrific.
Because I didn't realize, but Lil Nas X was also the cat.
Yeah, I didn't realize that either until the next day. Mum was like, he was just speaking in meows the whole time. I was like, oh, God.
Not even that was original with Doja Cat.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you, I mean, I guess if any celebrity had the right to do it, it was Doja Cat.
Yeah, exactly.
Have you seen her tweets and stuff?
Was this the one where she was like, planet her and whatever the other one was were just cash grabs and you all fell for it? I saw a news article about it.
Well,
and
just, I think like 24 hours ago, she, one of the comments under it was like, bro, don't do this. You're basically calling your fans dumb idiots.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And it's really disrespectful to the people who have given you your career. And she re-quoted it, and she's like, are they not dumb idiots?
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, Miss Thing.
Jesus.
I get that you're releasing an edgy album.
Not gonna go.
And that you've been treated dirty
go.
By the media in the past.
Yeah.
But I just don't think this is the way to kind of create buzz for your new album.
No, it's really, really, really not. And again, if they were just cash grabs, I guess that's whatever. That is what it is. But to then go one step further and to be like, and y'all fell for it and they're stupid idiots. It's a bit like, oh, maybe this is not doing what you think it's going to do. And if you have been treated badly by people, they are literally everybody else except for the people who have supported your album are the ones who have treated you badly. Like, you're actually alienating the only group that are supportive of you. So, in theory. Yeah. That's
I'm curious
wild.
Of how this album's going to turn out.
Wild.
Commercially, though. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Wait and see, I suppose. Depends how much she digs the hole for herself.
Yeah, very that. The Little Mermaid had its premiere.
Oh, yeah.
And the reactions that it's potentially the best Disney live action.
Interesting. I fucking hope so. Fingers crossed.
But then it also said that they added one or two new songs.
Yeah. They do that for all of them.
I know, but it's always the worst part.
Yeah, no, sure.
There's not been a single live-action musical remake that Disney's done where the new songs they added in have been good.
I would agree.
Specifically, Aladdin.
Mm.
It was all the original songs, and then there was this one random song that Jasmine sings near the end when she's frozen in a little bubble.
Yeah.
And she's singing, and it's just a straight-up pop ballad.
That was wild.
Like, tonally, it was so drastically different from the rest of the music. That it was, like, jarring. I hope the new songs aren't like that.
That's fair. I don't really remember Aladdin all that much, to be honest.
Because it was bad, because Guy Ritchie's a bad director, and I want that on record.
I want everyone to know I said that.
And for some fucking reason, Hollywood lets him make a new movie every 3 months.
It's really true.
He's literally just, one comes out in a few more months. He's already filming the next one.
See, I feel like the thing about, like, Guy Ritchie and people of his ilk is that, like, I really liked the Sherlock Holmes films that he did.
Sure. I liked The Man from U.N.C.L.E. That wasn't I liked The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
I liked that too, actually.
Yes.
See, so it's kind of like, maybe in the beginning they were smart and edgy and they did something kind of different. But now it's like, okay, you're actually just using the exact same tricks and it's not smart. It's not different. You're just repeating the exact same things over and over. In fact, showing that you're a one-trick pony.
Yeah.
So maybe...
And you're a bad writer.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because he writes and directs. Because there was that Operation Fortune Ruse de Guerre.
Oh, I didn't watch that.
Which had Aubrey Plaza in it.
Yes.
That came out less than 2 months ago. And then his new one, The Covenant with Jake Gyllenhaal, came out, I think, last week.
Jesus.
So literally, and then he's got the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare or something. Some fucking pretentious, stupid name comes out at the end of the year. And I'm like,
how does he have time?
3 movies in a year. Perhaps you're not putting your pussy into every movie.
No.
You're just putting just a touch of puss when you need to be putting your whole pussy into it, you know?
He's half-assing.
He's very much half-assing. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
That shit's wild. But anyway, the solid reactions to Little Mermaid make me happy. And
yeah, Little Mermaid is my favorite animated Disney princess, so I've been the most excited for it. And then as the trailers have slowly been being released, I've gotten more and more scared because I'm like, oh no, this CGI is scaring me a lot.
I think the CGI looks good.
Yeah.
I just think it's the fact that they've gone the realistic route with the animals that is off-putting because,
yeah.
And that's what some of the reviews do say, is that, the worst part is the fact that the animals have no emotion and are, like, really kind of hard to look at. That's exactly right. They should have done a Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah.
We don't need it to be realistic. It's obviously going to be cartoons mixed with a live action.
Yeah.
Just make it cartoony and give them, make them cute.
Yeah.
And make them have, like, emote when they talk.
It's really true. And I almost think it's like a...
It's about mermaids. We don't need realism.
It's so true. Well, I was going to say, you almost go make them so unrealistic that it's actually just fun and you're not comparing them to real life animals. Like, you know, like, it's, I think when you get... I don't know. When you try and make it so realistic, it actually is... That's distracting in and of itself.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, so.
Fascinating.
We'll wait and see. The way that we just added.
It's like 12 days, I think, away.
Shit, really? Wow, that's so close.
So not this Thursday, next Thursday.
Okay, well, are we going to go and see that?
Yes, absolutely.
On Thursday.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like we need to start going to see at least one movie a week again.
No, but there's nothing been coming out.
I mean, there has.
Nothing I've wanted to watch.
We could have seen Mario and Guardians of the Galaxy and stuff because...
I didn't want to watch any of those things.
Well, let me finish. Not because we necessarily want to see them, but because we'd have a lot to say.
Would we?
And is the discussions we have after the movie not more entertaining than the movie themselves?
I mean, yeah, but I feel we've had other discussions.
Go off. Okay, well, that's it for this week.
Yay.
I don't know what I will have to cut. If anything, who knows? We'll cut... But anyway,
that's a discussion for later.
What are your socials?
Real_Maddie_M, the letter, on Instagram and TikTok.
Lot of underscores.
Yeah, sadly, someone else stole my name.
Really fucked up.
It is.
If you want to follow the pod, you can at WTFIH podcast on Instagram and TikTok and YouTube. I've got a backlog of videos I have to upload, but...
skip them.
All links down below as usual. Links to stuff we talked about are down below.
Yay.
And if you want to follow me, you can on TikTok and Twitter at @NSE_sushi. I remembered the thing I was going to talk about.
What was it?
It's too late to talk about now.
Okay.
It was going to be an Am I the Asshole from Reddit that I found fascinating. I'll get you to read it off the pod and see what you think of it. But anyway.
We also didn't talk about Teen Wolf, which we did finish today. Not that we have anything to say.
I think that says everything. Yeah, you saying that we watched it and we have nothing to say is everything we need to say about it.
Yeah, there is nothing to say because it was so bad. It's just like, oh, just don't even touch that with a 10-foot pole.
Yeah, my one sentence review is that for a movie that was basically only exists because the actors campaigned for it so hard.
Mm.
the actors didn't seem to give a fuck about the movie.
No, they did not. Horrifying.
Fascinating piece of media. Anyway.
Okay. Thank you very much for listening to What the Fuck Is Happening in the Podcast. Bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.